WHCRDB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber. You're listening to WHCRDB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Protesters in Hong Kong are storming the legislative complex today to mark the anniversary to the return of Chinese rule. The protesters used metal carts, poles, and pieces of scaffolding to slam into the building's reinforced glass, which finally broke. Demonstrators are continuing to protest against a law that would allow people accused of crimes in Hong Kong to be sent to mainland China to be tried. Federal officials are warning about possible acts of domestic terrorism over the 4th of July holiday. The FBI and Homeland Security Department are urging local law enforcement officials to remain vigilant for suspicious activity, though no specific threats are noted. The FBI is reportedly investigating nearly 1,000 suspected domestic terrorists, and if you're traveling by car over the 4th of July holiday, the national average for a gallon of gasoline is $2.70. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Word out of Iran has many people wondering what the next move will be for President Trump. With more, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes in Washington.
After saying last week it would do so, Iran is confirming it's breached its enriched uranium stockpile limit, violating the 2015 deal it had reached with the United States and other major powers. The Islamic Republic's foreign minister making the announcement today in defiance of a warning from European nations that also signed that agreement that President Trump has since pulled the U.S. out of.
2020 presidential candidate and former Vice President Joe Biden is reacting to President Trump meeting with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Biden put out a statement saying that yet again Donald Trump has demonstrated that he's more concerned with a photo op for himself than getting results for the American people. Biden did say that diplomacy is important but also requires a strategy, process, and competent leadership. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
Oregon GOP senators made national news when they left the state to avoid voting on a climate change bill. The senators were threatened by the governor numerous times to come back, and they did, once the session was over and the bill is now essentially dead. Oregon Republican Senator Tim Knopp was one of the senators hiding. He tells Fox News where he was.
Well, I ended up in four different states, but ultimately landed in Idaho at Lake Coeur d'Alene, and the reason we left is because the governor said that she would arrest her political opponents if we didn't come back to the Capitol. And obviously, we were having a constitutional, peaceful political protest, and we just felt like that we had to be in safe and secure locations.
Knope explains a little bit more as to why he walked out of the session.
Well, it was because our constituents didn't like this bill, and That was our last resort to try to slow this bill down or stop it. We wanted it referred. We wanted it referred to the people at a minimum, and so it's back in committee now, and the session is now over.
Friends are gathering at the University of Utah on Monday night to remember Mackenzie Lewick. The Associated Students of the University of Utah will hold a vigil for the 23-year-old who was reported missing on June 20th after she had flown back to Salt Lake City. Investigators believe 31-year-old Ayula Ajahi killed Lewick and then burned her remains. For more news, follow us on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And this is Georgine Trinkle, your host at Hot in Hunterdon. We need to get you the weather, so we're going to do a quick commercial, do the weather, and then I'll be back to introduce my guests. Stay with us.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot in Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot in Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
All right, we're back in the studio here, and I have a drooping microphone here, so I'm going to have to try to take care of that when I don't make too much noise, because it's a squeaky one today. But I know you want to know the weather, so I will tell you it's definitely beach weather. It's all good at the beach, maybe nowhere else, but at the beach. So what we're looking at today is beautiful weather, high of 82. It's really sunny out, and it's going to be a great day. Tomorrow, another great day. We have showers possible and maybe some thunderstorms, but it looks like another day of 85. The rest of the week is perfect in the 80s. Friday and Saturday, we're looking at a chance of some thunderstorms, but I know you all want to know about the holiday, July 4th, so that is looking perfect. 89, sunny, no clouds, so we are good to go there. And that's basically your weather. There's no severe weather. There's no weather alerts. So we have that going on. I'm going to flip on a commercial, and then I'll be back to fix my mic, I hope. Stay with us.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, so we're going to have to reach in this show today. So those are our commercials. We're going to kick off our show right away. I'm going to introduce my guest, so while he's talking, I'll definitely be able to get our Facebook Live video going. So I have Don Hebert with me. And Don, if you could tell everyone what your title is and who you work for and what you do.
Sure. Good afternoon. My name is Don Hebert. First off, I'd like to say that I'm a man in recovery. And for me, that means I have not had a drink or taken any kind of drugs since October 10th of 1989. And a lot has changed since then. My job, I'm fortunate enough to be the director of peer recovery services for an organization called Morris County Prevention is Key, specifically with the Center for Addiction Recovery Education and Success. CARES is the acronym. And we're in Rockaway, New Jersey. And we help people at any stage of recovery throughout New Jersey.
Thanks, Don, and thanks for being with us here today. I'm going to need a booster to be able to reach my mic here. We seem to always have difficulties in this studio. I try not to be a hot mess, but it just doesn't work out. So thanks for sharing your story with us. As people do share information about their recovery, you know, certainly are built on a network of ways to inspire and help others and mentor others. So we certainly, you know, appreciate that. And I know in the world of recovery, sharing your story makes it possible for someone else to be able to reach out. And we always do a quote here on Hot in Hunterdon. So our quote today is from Audrey Hepburn, just nothing is impossible. The word itself says impossible. So
there you go.
That's our message to our listeners today. about things that you may be in the midst of and you think that there are no other options or it always has to be this way. And I think we all, if we're in recovery or not in recovery, I think that we all have certain challenges and patterns that we continue in our lives, patterns that we want to change, but for, you know, whatever reason or logic we apply to ourselves. I especially find these things true in matters of the heart. We can't always apply logic to them. And we're in a cycle sometimes. So I think it's important to be able to have deep discussion about recovery and addiction, especially today. Today we see people dying more, even with available resources like Narcan. And we had your colleague Chris on with us, Chris Goki, the executive director of McPick, to be able to talk about what some of these challenges are, because we do have more resources and tools, yet our overdose numbers are continuing to rise, higher than cancer, higher than you know, other incidences. And you certainly have been looking at recovery in the workplace.
Right.
So I was hoping we could jump into that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. First, I just want to say that I couldn't agree with you more. We at CARES believe that we are all in recovery from something, which is just another way of saying that we're all human, that nobody has it all figured out, and that we are truly connected in some way. For every person like myself, whether in active addiction or in some phase of recovery, we easily touch 30-plus people on a regular basis in our lives. So what we believe is that addiction is a family disease, but recovery is a family solution. So we are truly all in it together. I have a special program that I'm trying to get started called Workforce Recovery Solutions, simply because I feel and others feel in our field feel that it's an underserved population. We hear a lot about reducing stigma. You know, a lot of townships and municipalities post signs, stigma-free zone or stigma-free community, and that's great. One of the stigmas that we don't see addressed a lot is the working population that's addicted. Now, according to the National Safety Council, over 70% of people with substance use disorder are actively employed.
Which to me, you were nice enough to send me some background information this morning, and I read that, and I was astounded by that. I really, truly was astounded by that. Yes. And you know, sometimes we hear about workforce occupational hazards. We see that sometimes in our first responders, the second responders will lift up an area where there may be addiction based on their type of employment or the risks that are associated with that type of employment. But across the board, to think that it's 70%, it's astronomical to me.
And it is to a lot of people at first, because who we think of when we think of someone that's addicted to alcohol and or substances is we think of either someone that's incarcerated, homeless, down on their luck, and certainly there are people with that situation currently. But what we don't think of is the executive, the salesperson that's going to President's Club and winning awards, the master carpenter, the teacher, the social worker. There's a lot of people in the addiction and treatment field that have their own issues. So Workforce Recovery Solutions takes its cue from independent entities like the National Safety Council or the Center for Disease Control and looks at the statistics, and we come up with education and training, employee incentive programs, and access to certified peer recovery specialists, which I'm proud to say I work with on a daily basis. I have a team of some of the finest people on the planet that just do incredible work by sharing their lived experience in a very deliberate way. But it's not just, as I said before, the people that are battling substances or used to get caught up with substance use. It's really the family members that we're seeing an even larger need in some cases. For example, I know of one of the most talented executives in Essex County. He has shared with me that every day he has tremendous anxiety. Every text that he gets, he's wondering if that's going to bring bad news about his son, who's addicted to opioids. People from great families. It really is an equal opportunity destroyer, and you can't really find a community anymore where substance use is not an issue.
And even a family. I think that it's hard to find someone who doesn't know someone or isn't right. somehow related by blood or by marriage within a family where someone is suffering from some type of addiction. And I think that, again, we deal with a lot of issues here on this show, and people are always surprised that the resources in the community aren't available for their understanding of what the solution should be. And I think this is another example of that. People think, oh, employees, you have an employee assistance program,
right.
which is usually like 3 counseling sessions, or, okay, you're not going to solve a 7-year issue with 45-minute sessions. And also the really specific way that you need to be able to cope with addiction or someone in recovery. So are those the kinds of things that you address?
Yeah, you mentioned the EAP, Employee Assistance Program, and I talk to a lot of benefit brokers that sell health and welfare benefits, and they tend to kind of throw in the Employee Assistance Program as an enticement or as part of a bundled solution to their clients. And the reason for that is, by and large, almost every benefit broker that I speak to, and a lot of HR professionals will also concur, that the employee assistance program is one of the most underutilized benefits that they offer. So that I always wondered why that was. I had some assumptions, but I really took a deeper dive over the past 3 years in trying to promote and build workforce recovery solutions. And what I found out is it goes back to shame and stigma. In order for one to access their employee assistance program, many times they have to go on to the company's employee portal and put in some sort of identifier in order just to get the phone number or contact information from the EAP. What that does, that leaves an electronic footprint. So perception being reality, there's a lot of reluctance and resistance to asking for help when it comes to some sort of substance use and or co-occurring mental health issue, because there's a lot of stigma and shame still about that.
So how is that not associated with workforce recovery solutions?
Well, it's not associated because we are truly agnostic. And what I mean by that is we are not tied to any one organization. So one does not necessarily have to pick up and log into an employee portal or call a company line. They can contact us in a number of ways outside of the workforce in a way that not even the human resources department knows about it, because we are non-clinical, so we do not report out to any entity. It's truly anonymous. And one of the easiest ways to engage with us is something called, that Chris mentioned when he was on your show a few weeks ago, is telephone recovery support. It's something that we bundle into workforce recovery solutions, and it's so simple yet so effective. And by the way, most of the most effective ideas and solutions are rather simple, I've come to find. But with telephone recovery support, you can either go to our website or you can simply fill out a paper form, and you can opt in to having one of our peer recovery specialists call you at a designated day and time. And we can even go as far as saying leave a voicemail message or don't leave a voicemail message. But here's the interaction in a nutshell. Hi, this is Don calling from CARES. How can I support you today? And sometimes it's, I'm good, talk to you next week. Or everything from that to, boy, there's no coincidences. I'm so glad you called. I really need to get this off my chest. Or I need to find a 12-step meeting. Or I need to find a recovery meeting that's non-12-step, too. And we offer a lot of those services.
And one thing I wanted to ask about that is with the access to that. So in order to receive this program, the Workforce Recovery Solutions program, the employer would have a contract with you, and then everyone would be given information that they could access without an electronic footprint?
Yeah, that's 100% correct. It's very simple. We try and make it easy to do business with us. We are a nonprofit, so our mission is not bottom line driven. It's our metrics are about how many people we actually help. So we measure outcomes, and the outcomes are we can show how many people we connected with and what recovery programming people are taking advantage of. Recovery means different things to different people. And again, going back to your show with Chris, he touched upon the four dimensions of recovery, and that's what we focus on: health, home, family, and purpose. The purpose part comes with community, so sometimes that's inclusive of one of the other dimensions. But what we're trying to find is ways for people to connect in a relevant way that makes sense for them. So it's so much more than abstaining from using a particular substance, because nowadays, you know, it's a lot different than when I entered recovery back in 1989. Nowadays, we're realizing more of the science and medicine behind addiction. And for some people, this notion of harm reduction is the way for them to go. They may never completely abstain from substances the way I do. And you know what? Who am I to say that that's wrong or that doesn't work for them?
And I think with the methadone program had so much stigma to it, now that there's medication assistance treatment programs,
right,
we're trying to make sure that if that is a path for some people and the only path, that people aren't stigmatized that way. Now,
correct.
Don, I warned you, radio time goes quickly. I'm behind on my commercials. So when we come back, though, we're going to talk a little more about Don. I want to get his opinion about drug testing in the workplace, and also about seniors, because it's really hard sometimes to find data on the number of seniors impacted by medication issues and that may need some recovery solutions. And we have an older workforce in our employer base. So we're going to talk about that when we come back, but I have to pay the bill, so stay with us.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness.
Sure, we'll get the drug question out of the way. So I think that would be interesting. Not
discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges.
And then we'll dive right into that.
Another course we offer is
good.
Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know
the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, and we're back in the studio. No one brought me in a phone book here, so we're doing the best we can with this microphone. But again, I have Don Hebert in the studio with me talking about workforce recovery solutions. And before we dive into some of the details of this program, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the drug testing, your thoughts about that, and especially with seniors.
Right. That's two important areas. I'd like to kind of tackle the drug testing one first, if I may. Drug testing, we have to know what we are prepared to do with the information that we're testing for. What I mean by that is this. I'll draw a parallel. When my sons were in sixth grade, middle school, I used to stalk them on social media, right? And inevitably, I would learn some things about my dear sons that make them human, things that I don't necessarily like. So then I had a dilemma. What do I do with this information? Do I lead with the chin, which is kind of my style, and I may get my point across? Probably not. They will block me on social media so I cannot stalk them again. Or do I do the smart thing, which I wish that I said I did, and and give this information to my wife that has a little more finesse in this area? It's very similar with drug testing, especially with the cannabis laws that are changing. Now, depending upon the occupation, if the Department of Transportation is involved, there are certain things that you have to do by law. You have to, if someone is driving as part of their job, you have to test. But I was recently at a seminar about employment law where they had one of the prominent attorneys in Washington speak on cannabis law. And what she said was revealing. She recommends, specifically in New Jersey, she recommends that wherever possible, that her clients do not drug test. And I was astounded. And the reason why she said that is, if you drug test and take action, you are almost guaranteed to be a test case in the New Jersey court system. She said it's a very good time for attorneys. But there are so many holes and loopholes with drug testing and enforcement in the workplace.
And is this all drugs, or was she being specific to cannabis?
She was being specific to cannabis because it's very hard to know how long ago the person was using this. Plus, if they have a prescription, now what do you do? Of course, just like with alcohol or pain medication, you can't be impaired at work, but how are you measuring that? So Workforce Recovery Solutions goes over what we call an organizational readiness assessment. So we'll take a deep dive into what your current policies are and processes to make sure that it's grounded in common sense. Because what you don't want to do, just like the social media example, you don't want to lead with your chin. And you don't want to start taking drastic action, whether that's terminating an employee and or providing consequences that are outside of the scope of the law. And things are changing on a regular basis. What we do recommend, though, is you follow the lead of the National Safety Council, and that involves tremendous amounts of education, training and education on how to spot what impairment looks like and how to report on the physical observable behaviors, not assumptions, not I think this person's high. Well, why do you think that person's high? What are they doing? What are they not doing? Are they asleep at their desk? Are they ordering pizza consistently throughout the day? You know, I mean, I make light of it, but it's a rabbit hole we have to be careful about going down. And as far as seniors go, that's a real challenge because with many seniors, a lot of times they're not accountable to more than one person at best. If they're lucky enough to be with their spouse still, they're living either alone or just solely with their spouse. There's a lot of behaviors that go unreported even to close family members. So it's really hard to get a gauge as to what actual behavior is going on. But I will say that this is a growing area of concern as many baby boomers start to retire and get older, because there's a generational communication gap as well. Many times people that are in the senior population, they have some medication that, let's say, is stronger than what sometimes they need. But the way that insurance is, you either have to take what is in your insurance plan, like a, you know, up until recently, it was a 90-day prescription where maybe you only need 3 days. Certain plans were written that way. I'm happy to say that part is changing rapidly, so that's no longer the norm. However, the senior population comes with a lot of learned behavior over the years, and to have someone that's not their peer in age, in demographic, try and share with them what they found to be successful, many times it's falling on deaf ears, no pun intended.
All right. Well, I was wondering with the Workforce Recovery Solutions, if you have the solutions for that population and you serve a wide range, you have young people working, you have older people working.
Yeah.
So tell us about Workforce Recovery Solutions so we understand that.
Sure. Again, it's very simple but effective. It begins with what we call, as I said a moment ago, an organizational readiness assessment. We partner with an employer. And the first thing that we try and make clear is that this is not a diagnostic to try and see where we can sell you something. We are primarily grant-funded. However, Workforce Recovery Solutions is meant to be a fee-for-service model, which means we bring in unrestricted dollars into our nonprofit. And the reason why I'm telling you this is important for me to be transparent as to why we would charge an employer to do this. In the nonprofit world, if you get grants, they are specifically tied to programming, and you have, during an audit, you have to prove that out. You can't just take that money and do whatever you want with it. With unrestricted funds, as the name dictates, it's less restrictive, so we can invest that money back into our business, back into our nonprofit. And that could be anything by providing greater opportunities for our staff to grow professionally through either tuition reimbursement or advanced training, or we can buy equipment with that enable us to bring our recovery services out into the community to reach even more and more different populations. So the organizational readiness assessment, partnering with an employer, all we want to find out is what tools, resources, and information they currently have in place. And then we will analyze that data, and then we will come up with a punch list, finding where the gaps are and where we feel are practical ways to bridge those gaps. So, for example, a client may have a substance-free workplace policy already drafted. What we want to find out is how long ago was that written, when was it updated, and does it include things like cannabis and pain medication? The substance-free workplace is something that employers get a credit on their workers' compensation spend. So every employer should have one. We just want to make sure it's aligning with reality. That's kind of where it starts.
And I think, too, Don, is the nonprofit world. We take that for an example for just a moment. So if you have federal grants, you have to be a drug-free workplace. But maybe let's say marijuana becomes legalized, so now you need a policy that doesn't put your federal grant at risk, but still complies with the state law, which doesn't seem to be in compliance with the federal law. So I'm hoping that's like an area of expertise and part of some of the services that you offer, because if it does happen.
It does. And just so you know, part of my background and why I'm so passionate about this, I come to the table with over 20 years of human resources experience. So in addition to being a man in long-term recovery, I have a rich history of consulting with all size organizations, mom and pops, all the way up to Fortune-level companies as a subcontractor. So you're absolutely right. Compliance is critical. there's also the practicality and common sense of doing business. So they have to, it has to address both. If they do have a substance use policy, do your employees or does your workforce more accurately understand it? Because many times it's written in that HR language, legalese. If your workforce does not understand what's expected of them and the parameters, then it's just words on a page. So that's where the education component comes in.
That's such a very important point, because sometimes you're right. The policies are written for attorneys or by attorneys. So when you're deposed, you can point out the policy.
Exactly.
But that doesn't matter if you're failing your workforce.
For example, for CARES, our policy is if one of our peer recovery specialists decides to use substances again, we call that a reoccurrence of their symptoms. They are not terminated. There's a particular fit for duty and return to work policy that we follow. So we find work that does not involve direct peer-to-peer work, but under the guidance of a mentor. They will help facilitate and bring out to the community things like all recovery meetings. They will do administrative work. And it's not to be punitive. It's to be compassionate and healing and to provide a safe work environment for everybody. So these are the things that we think through and actually live and not just make recommendations to our clients.
And I'm sure that you are able to demonstrate the cost of someone that is not in recovery, that has an addiction and comes to work, and the benefits of having recovery supports and programs in place and the long-term loyalty and the no missed sick days or less calling out unexpectedly.
Absolutely. Again, drawing on third-party credible data by the National Safety Council, which I, while I was an HR consultant, I did a lot of work with, they tell us that United States employers spend almost $42 billion a year annually because workers are either less productive when at work or they don't show up at all. So things that keep a business person, a CEO, a president, a business owner, a CFO up at night, that hasn't changed for a long time. Things like turnover, lower levels of employee engagement, increased workers' compensation, absenteeism. Addiction exacerbates all these conditions. So workforce recovery looks at ways to kind of mitigate these expenses, these costs. For example, employees who misuse drugs are 2 to 5 times more likely to take unexcused absences, be late for work, quit or be fired after 1 year of employment, be involved in accidents in the workplace, and file workers' comp claims. So again, there are some hard dollar costs that we can help with. Now, you mentioned employee loyalty or higher levels of employee engagement, which is sort of like the holy grail, if you will, in the HR world. The direct opposite. So if you, as an employee, we had someone come to one of our recovery recognition breakfasts that owns a New Jersey Mike's sub shop. Now, that is a great example of an employer that really invests in their people and that looks at addiction as a disease, just like diabetes or heart disease. This person, had some trouble, was a high performer, and then because of addiction, that slowly dissipated. Well, rather than terminate this individual, who was, by her own admission, embezzling from the company, they invested in her. They allowed her to get help. They nurtured her. They provided opportunities for her because they saw something in her. Now she owns a store, I believe a store and a half. She's in partners. And not only that, she's an advocate for her company. So if you invest wisely in people, they're going to be your shining stars. They're going to be your best brand.
And you put something in the background information that I just want to read because I thought it was a very telling thing. You said addiction comes to work every day, and it has a negative and cascading effect on the bottom line. And I think that people think if you're let's say you don't have much experience with addiction. Mm-hmm. People think that if you are an addict, you're not working.
Right.
And I think that that's a whole piece of education that people really don't understand, that there are many, many people, I think they call them like functioning alcoholics, and they don't really have a term that the whole society knows for people that are that are actually using and are going to work every day that's not alcohol. So,
sure.
Like, our language hasn't caught up with it. People would know if you said, oh, there's a functioning alcoholic, you kind of know what that means.
Right.
But we don't have that term for addiction of other drugs.
Like a functioning heroin user,
yeah.
Right? That sounds like
an
oxymoron.
Oxymoron, absolutely. So I think it's because of that people don't maybe understand the need for recovery solutions in the workforce.
I think you're right. And that goes back to the education piece. But also, if you remember, not that long ago, there were many Americans, including me, that smoked cigarettes on a regular basis. And a lot of these smoking cessation programs were adopted by employers. We can do something very similar with substance use. We can create employee incentive programs that provide true incentives for people to be educated, to reduce stigma, and to help family members as well as the individuals lead a life of recovery. I mean, it's a health issue.
And do you remember, Don, when they did declare it a health issue? There were quit lines, there were posters, there were free cessation medications, or yoga in lunchtime, and
right.
All of these things, and we put all these resources in to try to really stem it, but we haven't seen that in this field of addiction.
Not yet, but things are changing. Like I said, in 1989, when I came in, it was basically Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous. Perhaps if you're lucky enough to have insurance, you go to a detox and a rehab. And while those things are certainly still around, and by the way, I've benefited from many of those programs, we also found that there are several people, thousands of people, where that just simply doesn't resonate. So rather than try and, convince them, we listen to the voice of our customer, and we create and promote all kinds of recovery programming. You mentioned yoga. We offer Y12SR yoga that combines a recovery meeting for an hour and an hour of yoga. Some people have problems with the God thing or spirituality. Maybe they feel it has too much of a Christian flavor. Well, we provide something on Friday evenings called Noble Steps, which takes a Buddhist philosophy. Or on Saturdays, my peer recovery specialist, James, does a great job delivering a smart recovery meeting that's like self-managed. It's more clinical, if you will. So those that have experience going to outpatient or intensive outpatient, many of them do respond to that quite well. And the all recovery meeting is phenomenal because, again, going back to the notion we are all in recovery from something, everyone is welcome, and it's a discussion meeting for an hour on universal topics affecting recovery, affecting life.
And I want to make sure if someone has employees and they want to be able to implement a program like this, or have you review policies, those kind of things, how can they get in contact with you?
The easiest way, and again, I'm not here to sell. I'm here to inform. My cell number is 973-722-4720. I answer that phone all the time. A conversation's free. All I really want to know is who you are and what your biggest issue is, and the conversation can start from there. But the last piece of workforce recovery solutions is about the peer-to-peer, the peer specialist. This is an individual that has lived experience themselves in addiction and now in recovery. So it's the essence, which, by the way, that's how Alcoholics Anonymous was started, one peer helping another, talking and listening. It's truly a level playing field. We don't try and talk people in or out of anything. And the easiest way to get one's head around this, and I explain this a lot, we are like a professional caddy on the PGA Tour. A professional golfer spends a lot of time and attention on selecting their caddy. Just like a professional caddy, the peer recovery specialist knows the course, knows the landscape of addiction and recovery. It knows what club to use in every situation. So in our world, we know what tool to use in any situation, at any stage of recovery. We'll walk side by side with you. We'll carry your bag, but we won't swing the club. That's where you come in.
And along with the telephone recovery support is also part of this, right?
That's correct. The output of the organizational readiness assessment after the data is analyzed, we'll come back with a punch list of recommendations. And again, we're not going to try and sell you on everything. We'll present it to you, and we'll ask you, out of our findings here, what would you say is your priority? Does any of this resonate with you? And then we take it from there. So it truly is a non-cookie-cutter approach, because addiction, there's many moving parts. So a solution cannot be a cookie-cutter solution.
And I think depending on the industry, too, there can be certain things that are more critical than others. You know, if you're working swing shifts,
right,
you know, you want to make sure that there's access to counselors and peer recovery supports, all of those things when people aren't working, when that's possible.
Yeah, very true. You have, for example, in the trades, if you're a young apprentice and you get hurt on the job, you're kind of encouraged to take pain medication because you don't want to miss work. You're in that apprentice stage where you have to play hurt. Now, think about a highly successful attorney or a salesperson. If they're bringing in numbers, it's not broken. A lot of inappropriate behavior gets overlooked if the business needs are being met.
I can see that. All right, we're going to catch up to our commercials, and then we'll be back just to wrap up the last little bit of our show. So stay with us.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, so along with my floating microphone, I have board issues today. I've unloaded commercials, so that means that we get a few more minutes with you, Don, to kind of just talk whatever points we missed or whatever solutions you want to offer to people. Now is a good time to get that out there.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, by the way.
No, you're welcome.
It's very important. I think if your listeners take away one thing, I think the most important thing is the value of working with a certified peer recovery specialist. What we found is that many times well-intended professionals spend a lot of time telling people that they're working with what they should do. What we find is that learning what the individual wants to do is much more effective. For example, I don't want to stop using. I get that. My question is, well, what do you want to do? What's on your plate? And sometimes it could be, I need a job. I need housing. I need food. We can help people connect to other social service agencies. That's why we're highly resourceful. Nicola, who's our patient navigator, I don't know anybody. I have yet to find somebody that knows the ins and outs of the system the way she does. So she can help people in ways that they cannot find help themselves. But we have to move away from this shame-based kind of, you should do this, you should do that. What success looks like for you is going to be different than what it looks like for me. So this is about you. This isn't about me. And anecdotally, what we hear countless times when we work with another recovery, another peer, is that they tell us, this is the first time I felt like I've ever been heard. And that's huge.
And I think, too, I know it was something my dad always used to say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It's not enough to want to help someone. You actually have to do the right thing.
Right.
And you know, I think some of our recovery supports don't take into consideration we all have different paths and different ways that we live and
right.
things that resonate with us that will help us to be successful.
Definitely.
So it's good that we don't have a cookie cutter model, and I would never expect anything of the of that way with McPick, certainly. And you also, we didn't talk about the Center for Excellence.
Yeah, the Centers of Excellence are vetted providers, whether they're insurance companies, detoxes, rehabs. I'm just going to tell it like it is. There's a lot of unethical people out there, and that really blew my mind when I got into peer work. Looking back now, it's like I don't know why I was surprised, because wherever there's politics and money that enters the equation, it's fertile ground for corruption and for less than ethical behavior, let's say. So we vet people, and here's the acid test for me. Would I send one of my sons to these providers? And if I can't answer with an affirmative yes, we're not referring people to them.
And then do you do, you know, a 360 evaluation and, you know, different methods to evaluate the services when they are being sent to detox and then other services that you're not providing in-house?
What we try to do is take it a step further. We try to meet with people before, during, and then ongoing after treatment. Treatment is important for some people. I never went to treatment myself. I don't recommend that, but for me, this is my journey. This is what I chose. But we want to make sure that if they're going to go to treatment, that it's their idea, not a judge's, not a parent's, not a spouse's, but it's their idea, because now you have a better candidate for treatment. While they're in treatment, to the extent possible, we work with certain facilities that we can reach out to them either over the phone or attend a family night. We want to make sure that the, you know, the reality matches up to the brochure, let's say, of the and then most importantly, ongoing, because what we're talking about is a continuum of care that goes on indefinitely. The journey continues, and that's why I say we walk side by side with the people that we work with.
And Don, there's just one point I definitely want to make before we wrap up here, and that is on the FLLO, which Chris taught me, friends, family, and loved ones.
Yeah.
Are they included in this to the extent that you have services?
We have all kinds of family support programming, and we are in the midst of launching family peers as well. So just like there's a peer recovery specialist for people with substance use disorder like myself, as I said before, that circle of influence, family as the individual defines family, yes, we have peers that have loved ones that are battling this disease. So who better to connect with someone else than, let's say, for example, a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister with another person that has a loved one in recovery?
And I think it's hard to know what to ask or who to ask if, you know, it's the first time you're going through this mm-hmm. with a family or a friend or a loved one. And I think that when we don't ask those questions, the threat of someone overdosing is so real, and it happens
yeah.
every day, every minute of every day, I'm sure. So to be able to have a network where you don't have to be embarrassed and you could just
right.
ask.
Absolutely.
You know, that's an incredible gift for people.
It is. And, you know, a lot of times when it's a family member, sometimes we hear, don't worry about me, fix my kid, fix my loved one, fix my spouse, whatever the case may be. And we go back to that old saying that we used to hear a lot during air travel, put your own oxygen mask on first. By taking care of, by getting your own self-care in addition to trying to help your loved one, you're going to be more effective with helping your loved one, because you're going to be in a better physical, mental, and emotional space when you're taking care of yourself concurrently.
Excellent. So this is Don Hebert we had with us during this hour. We're just wrapping up here for Workforce Recovery Solutions. You can reach Don at 973-722-4720. Don, thank you so much for joining me here today on our show so we could dig and dive a little bit more into our recovery solutions.
Thank you so much.
All right, and that about wraps up our hour here at Hot and Hunterdon, and we'll be back in the studio next week just to see what a hot mess I am and what's going to go wrong next week. Who knows? We have another hour of live program coming right up, so stay with us.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz is on the U.S.-Mexico border down in Texas, getting a look at the firsthand issues that Border Patrol agents face on a daily basis. Cruz also says,
"We are seeing an absolute humanitarian crisis on the border. This is unconscionable, what is happening."
Fire officials say no one was exposed to a chemical warfare agent at a Facebook mailing facility in Northern California. The fire department in Menlo Park, located just south of San Francisco, says an alarm notified the workers a package may contain the nerve agent sarin. Initially, it was feared that two workers were exposed. A hazmat crew is at the scene and the building has been evacuated. And a final look at your numbers on Wall Street. At the closing bell, the Dow gained 117 points, setting a new record and closing at 26,717. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
While gas prices in the United States have generally been declining throughout the recent weeks, drivers in three states are feeling a little bit more pain at the pump due to new laws that went into effect today. Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com.
Illinois is raising its state tax 19 cents per gallon. Gas prices there will jump. Ohio is raising their tax 10.5 cents per gallon. And California is raising its gasoline tax 5.6 cents. On July 1st.
According to AAA, the average price for a gallon of gasoline was $2.70 a gallon, down from $2.82 a gallon 1 month ago and $2.85 the same time last year. Another law that takes into effect in California now requires background checks before people can buy ammunition. The law was approved by voters back in 2016, and it calls for a background check every time a person buys ammunition, and it makes all sales face-to-face transactions. Online orders will now be shipped to a store where then the customer can pick them up. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
The Commerce Department is reporting that construction spending declined by almost 1% in May, which is the biggest drop since November. April numbers were revised to show construction spending rose 0.4%, up from being unchanged. Building industry analysts were expecting May numbers to rise 0.3%. Two strong opening weeks for a Disney Pixar movie. With more on what was popular at the box office this weekend, here's USA Radio Network's Wendy King.
At the movies, Pixar easily ruled the box office this weekend with its cartoon sequel, Toy Story 4, bringing in an estimated $57 million. At number two, Warner Brothers offered Annabelle Comes Home. This R-rated thriller brought in a total of $20 million. At number three, Danny Boyle's latest film, Yesterday, featuring the music of the Beatles. It opened in third with $17 million. Leaping over the triple century mark and still sitting in the top five in its sixth weekend, Disney's Aladdin with $9.3 million. Sliding down to number five was the animated feature The Secret Life of Pets 2 with an estimated $7.1 million. And number six, still hanging on, Avengers Endgame, which has added new bonus footage and widened the screen, grossing an estimated $5.5 million. That's up from last weekend and brought it back into the top 10.
For more news, please remember you can always find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz is on the U.S.-Mexico border down in Texas, getting a look at the firsthand issues that Border Patrol agents face on a daily basis. Cruz also says,
we are seeing